At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the Rugby Rant Podcast Show, your premier North American rugby podcast, growing rugby one fan at a time.
And welcome back, rugby fans. It's that time again to spend an hour or so with us here on the Rugby Rant Podcast Show. My name is Ty, the Sapper Braga, joined by my team, of course. You know, Scott, the big guy Ferrara, Rob, the Hammer Hammerschmidt, and more importantly, for the second time around, is Wags, also known, of course, as Matthew Wagner, now of the Chicago Hounds, which we'll be diving into in a moment through the course of the show. But first up, Wags, welcome back.
Thanks, Ty. It's great to be back with you guys. I know there's a lot of exciting things going on in the American rugby world, so I'm looking forward to diving in.
Exactly.
Don't
reason
let
you're
me
here.
Forget, man. I still need to get you one of these bad boys.
You do.
I owe you one.
I haven't forgot, Rob.
Hey, we could do a hat exchange. You get me a cap of hat, and I'll give you a bright, shiny rugby rant hat.
We can sort something.
I like how Rob expertly turned around a freebie to get something for himself, too. Like, you know what? Let's turn that to a
That's my superpower, baby.
And that, of course, is one of the reasons fans are here, is for the banter, for the debate. And here on the Rugby Rant, we do that week after week, here on episode 161. But as per usual, we're going to give you some really great rugby information from here and abroad and everywhere in between as we dive into Around the Pitch to be able to share what we think you should learn about from the rugby world. Be back in a moment.
What's going on, Rugby Rant fans? It's the Hammer, and I've got some fantastic news. This year, once again, Rugby Now, Power Shop MLR, has returned to support our Super Brew contest. That's right. They're back. You get the benefit, all the rewards of participating in our Super Brew contest. Just like last year, every single week, the weekly winner can win a $25 gift card to use at either Rugby Now or Shop MLR to buy your favorite gear that we know you love and want. And of course, even if you miss a week or two, or heck, the whole season, that's okay. You can still win individual weeks. But we have a bonus. And just like last year, those folks that hang in, that are participating every week, are throwing their hand up, putting their name in the hat for the opportunity to win some great gift cards at the end of the season. That's right. Top honors get a $150 gift card. The runner-up gets a $100 gift card. And third place gets a $50 gift card. The only thing we ask is that the winner is the one that uses and applies the gift card to their purchase. So come again, back to the Rugby Rant, the Super Brew contest. Take advantage of Rugby Now, who power Shop MLR, and their support of the Rugby Rant podcast, and stack yourself up against me, the big guy, the Safa, or even the Rugby Now crew, because they're in the contest to see if they can best you in this year's 2024 Major League Rugby Super Brew Contest. Win yourself some great prizes and have a lot of fun in the process. Enjoy it.
All right, rugby fans, again, this is Around the Pitch. You know how it goes. We're going to go quick fire around the table to share what we think you should learn about when it comes to rugby and everything in between. Kicking us off is a bit of a tradition, is to hand it over to Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. Start us off, then on to our guest, Otis Scott. Then I finish out this round. So, Rob, take us away.
Thanks, Ty. I appreciate it. I've got a really good one. As folks who are consistently watching episode to episode, now they're at 161, they know that I like to talk about youth rugby. This is the lifeblood of rugby, especially as we build the 2027 and 2031 and 33. The Memphis Inner City Youth organization got a $1.1 million grant from Shelby County to build a new field. Now, this was on a blighted field of the Vance Middle School field. The middle school, I believe, has been torn down now, and pretty much it's in a tough neighborhood, but they're going to be able to provide a home for these young athletes, these young rugby players. And the organization, through the guidance of the executive director, Shane Young, they have had over 3,000 athletes that they've served in this Memphis Inner City Youth Rugby Program, 70 of whom are playing or have played rugby in college rugby programs. This is a model success story to bringing in new converts to our game, and I love to see it. And again, they're finally getting a home. This is wonderful news. What's interesting is the funds come through the American Rescue Funds Act, and it's going to go towards building bathrooms, benches, and two fields. Thrilled for these boys, thrilled for the work that they've done. Kudos to them, and it's great to see youth being served in such a positive way.
Absolutely. There is nothing but good in that story. And of course, they're doing wonderful work. And it was also seen when they helped, in a way, PR7s launch their first live event at AutoZone Park in Memphis, which by the way, kind of ties me into the next person we hand this over to. Matthew, we introduced you as the Chicago Hounds, but we don't want to sell you short, my friend. You've also got experience at the PR7s. You're also longstanding history in Chicago rugby with the Lions as a director role there. So, you know, rugby is what you do, live, eat, and breathe. But we got you here not only as a part of the Hounds, in particular, your new role that you've adopted as the team manager and coach facilitator. But I digress, because you got all this experience. I'm just going to hand the microphone over to you and tell us, what do you think fans should know about?
Thank you, Ty. Well, there's just a lot of exciting things going on in American rugby right now. Obviously, Hammer touched on the PR7s tie with Memphis. Things are starting to roll there in terms of, you know, forming our plans for the drafts. We've had a few calls with the league as coaches, so it's exciting to start to look at what the dates are going to be and get that ball rolling there. MLR preseason is in week two all around the country, so there's 12 teams with big groups of dudes who are working really hard to get ready for competition, and we start playing in for like 1 month. So rugby is imminent in terms of the MLR season returning in 2024. I know Pacific Four series dates just got announced for the USA Women's Eagles. Obviously, the Men's Eagles last campaign was successful, and everybody, I think, is really excited to continue to watch Scott Lawrence take that team in an upward trajectory. So there's definitely no shortage of exciting rugby news kicking off around the country right now.
Absolutely. And fans are super excited. You know, it's always interesting to be able to see all the fans reemerge, get that excitement, that anticipation as we go into the preseason. You know, all the announcements are out. They're starting to see the teams assemble. You know, we're getting close to kickoff. So it's an exciting time. And on that note, you actually, let's just send a little bit of a teaser to the fans who can see. Hold up that rugby ball you showed me just a moment ago, Wags. because this is going to be a part of the topic, the main topic of debate here today, talking about the innovation around Gilbert, its technology inclusion alongside the MLR. And you've had your hands on that for a while, but more importantly, the team has had it on their hands for the last 2 weeks in preseason. So we're going to hear some of that from you in a moment, but not before we hear
that big time, guy. Time out real quick. If we had any kind of budget, first of all, my microphone would turn on automatically, and we would be able to hire Wags. I mean, what a great segment he put forth, man, just dropping some freaking knowledge on everybody of what's going on in the rugby world in the United States. So thank you for that, brother. I just wanted to throw that shout out and let you know if you know the hounds.
It's like he knows something about rugby, you know?
Yeah.
Have you done this before, Wags? just appear natural, right? That's why you're back for the second time. Obviously, the first time around, you cracked the interview. So let's hand it back over to Scott Ferrara. What do you got to share, my friend?
I was going to start with my around the pitch, but now I have an idea for social media I'm going to do after this episode comes out. It's going to be a meme of Wags holding the ball. It's just going to say, Wags has smart balls in his hand. Pass that around. Pass that around.
Hashtag smart
kettle club, you know. But what I'm here to talk about, I'm actually here to talk about, excuse me, wheelchair rugby. We have the Olympics in Paris and the Paralympics the 2 weeks after the Olympics. And that means wheelchair rugby at the Paralympics USA is qualified already. And we actually have a player looking to make history. In the name of Sarah Adams, she's looking to be the first woman to be named to the USA Rugby Wheelchair Paralympic roster ever. She's been leading the team in minutes right now, and the team's really killing it in their lead up into rolling over to Paris. As you guys know, my buddy Nikki Springer was a wheelchair rugby player for the Olympic team and won quite a few medals, actually, and actually won medals in sled hockey as well. So that team is near and dear to my heart. And as you know, we do everything North American rugby here. And Wags actually brought up another one, that Pacific 7 Series. Team USA gets a match in the United States against Canada. They have not released the details yet, but they're coming soon.
Excellent. You know, one thing I've always enjoyed about you, Scott, is that you're an advocate of not just rugby, but all forms of it. So you're
I don't know about me. That's more of like a Dustin Zur type deal.
Dustin Zur or Dustin Smith. I can't remember which guy.
No, that name will stick with
They're
him.
They're never in the same place twice, which I still can't figure out.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy, I tell you. So that
always seems to be a fun nearby.
Oh, yeah. Well, gentlemen, let me take the opportunity to be able to share something with the fans as well. As I stay close to the American Raptors, as you know, I've been fortunate enough to be a part of the announcing there for quite a while. And it's been a tremendous honor to be able to see the different versions of rugby that they played. But more recently, it's, of course, Super Rugby Americas. It's the end of the second season. They, too, of course, working hard on the pitch, assembled their team, and, of course, getting underway is the mission at hand to be able to better their performances from the year before, which left them with only 2 wins out of their entire season, although one of those came as against pretty stiff competition, so they'll be looking to improve upon those results. However, what we have found is a last-minute change in the coaching setup as head coach heads out back to his homeland, that's Laprida, to be able to leave the Raptors due to personal reasons, is what they said. And incoming is a contingent of 2 coaches, both Canadian in origin. One is Butcher, and the other, I gotta remind myself here, is the attack coach as well, Corey Hector. So what's really interesting about these two is they've been coaching together for quite a while. Through the Canadian program, all the way up to national levels in different coaching positions. Butcher at the helm is head coach. Really interesting that his consistency comes through years of working at a university level and winning 2 national championships as well to the north of us in Canada. So we hope to be able to see them bring in a really great impact really fast. Another interesting component to this is not only is it the head coach change, but it's the addition of a specialized attacking coach. So it's adding to the team in several different ways. Maybe some difficulty changing coaches could come their way so close to the beginning of the start. As you can imagine, they were learning one way, one set of tactics, one set of strategy, and now they might have to pivot as a team. That players might find it hard to adjust in the early part of the season, but they've got a great squad that they've assembled. We'll stay close to the action to see where it may take us in Super Rugby Americas here, of course, as we follow all American rugby in North America here on the Rugby Rant Podcast Show. So, gentlemen, that is Around the Pitch. And before we head out, I want to be able to remind fans to stick around because we're going to be talking about that special Gilbert Ball being introduced to Major League Rugby in 2024. What can it do? How can it help? We'll find out when we're back.
When we pick up the ball, we also pick up a legacy. A legacy that stretches beyond your current team. A legacy built on the backs of those who came before you with hard work. And for those who will come after you, we promise it won't be easy. But we'll be there, supporting you on and off the field.
All right, rugby fans, we're back, and it's time to talk about that new innovation of Gilbert? What the hell is a Gilby? The Gilbert rugby ball being introduced to be able to create an innovative opportunity to be able to track game play time, all these wonderful things. But I'm not going to be able to talk about that in depth right now because my role is to be able to help give these guys on screen the chance to be able to do so as I direct the conversation for you as the rugby fans here on the Rugby Rant. And we're going to kick it off as we like to be able to do with the guest having the first crack at the debate here. And who better than Wags himself, who's had his hands on the ball himself to be able to test it alongside the Chicago Hounds. So really, as I set you up here, Wags, it's open field. You run with it any direction you like. But at its core, we want to know, why is this so good? What is interesting about it? How is it going to help teams like you and others across the league become even better than they were last season as you look forward into the 2024 season ahead? The floor is yours, my friend.
Thank you, Ty. I mean, everybody is obviously excited and talking about this rugby ball. And I think probably a lot of the, if not all the viewers tuning in know, I mean, Gilbert's the gold standard of rugby balls in the world. And so that kind of just like quality and consistency that you find with, you know, the standard in rugby ball in any competition, any elite level competition that you're going to find is what we've got here. So I know like when we first heard about this, you know, people are always like, hey, how's this going to be different? What can potentially go wrong? And I don't want to let anybody down, but it's just a normal, really good rugby ball. I mean, the boys were all really excited when they were pulled out.
Oh, it's as advertised.
It's as advertised. You're getting the Gilbert rugby ball. I mean, the grip's good, shape's good, feels good. I mean, the weight, everything is what you would want it to be. All the guys are very, very happy with them that we're using Gilbert balls now. I think, you know, just little things like that the league does to incrementally raise the standards year to year, I think are really important. Just to, you know, make sure that we're offering the best product and like actually, you know, following through with the steps that enable us to do so. The GPS, the technology aspect of it's really cool. I think I've showed it earlier. The only thing different about it is this blue dot here where the chip goes, mm-hmm. and it's right next to the hole for the needle.
Can we get a close up on that, Wags?
Yes, we can. Here we go. Just a little rubber cap.
How crazy is that, right?
Yeah, stuck in there. It doesn't feel any different. I mean, everybody, like in terms of like ball trajectory, flight path, spin, kicks that are going through the air, nothing at all seems any different than a standard rugby ball. Nobody's come back with any feedback about a different feel in the hand. So that's great. I think
I think it's brilliant that you highlighted that because that's some of the, you know, skepticism that somebody might have whenever you try to be able to change something. You know, there's inevitably some pushback, some skepticism. But you nailed it because you're hearing this feedback on the field from players and you're seeing it in action. So brilliant to be able to hear that it looks and feels just like any other ball that you've used in the past.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. And, you know, we've got a wide array of rugby experiences and backgrounds on our team. And we've got some guys who've, you know, played at the highest level, and everybody's just very pleased with the ball. So it's great. I think, you know, even myself, when I heard about this, I thought, you know, how is this going to be different? You know, you're talking about having a chip in a ball. Is the weight going to be off? But it's been really good. I'm excited to see how we use the data. Like I'm sure all the other teams in the league rely heavily on both real-time data and, you know, data at the end of the day to inform decisions for the next day or after a game. And so kind of starting to get into those details with the information we can get off the GPS, I think is really interesting. I think it'll provide a lot of interesting points for viewers for games. If, you know, we can talk about rotations per second, or how those affect.
Yeah, for those rugby nerds out there, those geeks, yeah, love all that detail. Rob, including you there, we love that kind of detail, right?
I'm the same way. I think that'll be really cool. I'm a huge numbers guy, but I know a lot of the apprehension is around how the officiating team will use information like this. So that's something, you know, we haven't had a full on debrief from the league about. I imagine that's a topic that we'll be touching on with our organization and the rest of the organizations pretty soon. But yeah, definitely interested to see how that goes. I know a lot of the comments I saw earlier today on social media after the press release came out, a lot of people are in the same boat there, so we'll certainly see how it goes. But
well, it sounds like the reception's been pretty welcoming so far from what you've at least seen and what you've experienced personally. Interesting point to be able to talk about, you know, it's still kind of evolving right now as real world applications haven't seen it happen yet. And what I'm referring to is officiating, right? It's an additional component to this that we need to be able to consider and see how it plays out. Yeah, I think that's a really, really good opener. We're going to hand it over to Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt to be able to add even further thoughts to this.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it was great to have Wags on the show because he's giving you a player perspective, a coach perspective, for sure, and how a team might be using the data, and you know, how the ball feels, how it, you know, its flight trajectory, its spin rate, etc. What I'm going to give you is some insight into what's going on the production piece. And this is what I believe we'll immediately see on a fan perspective. I don't know that the referee element is on the immediate horizon. I think I share Wag's view in that there's some concerns in that regard, which we can get into later. But I will tell you, in my pre-production meetings, just in, you know, meeting with the MLR production group and some of the production teams that are working, there is plans to use this data. I think immediately, it first of all, people need to understand the data is only going to be available, particularly for the production crew, in the 25 Fox Sports games that are going to be produced. Okay, so you're not going to get this on our typical MLR, you know, game that are on TRN. Teams will not be able to, you know, the production teams and the announcers will not be able to use the data. It won't be available to them because of some of the limitations on the technology from production. And that being said, they're working with, you know, some of the other groups that they work with to produce, you know, the imagery and things like that. They're going to bring some of the data in those 25 matches to the fans. So things like ball speed, distance traveled, kick distance, territory gains, hang time, you know, line out throw, spin rates, you know, average. One of the things I think you're going to see commentators talk a lot about is the number of passes that are 0 to 5 meters, 5 to 10 meters, and 10 meters or more. And, you know, comparing teams average in each of those areas overall, you know, where do most of their, you know, passes sit, you know, in which area. Mm-hmm. You might see them talk about spin rate. You're going to see them talk about distance and hang time on kicks because of 15-22s. I mean, that was part of the conversation we had, was talking about the value in that regard. So I think that's where you're going to see immediate feedback, where the potential is for the fans is some of that data being live. And I think that from a production end, the thing I hope that the MLR keeps in mind is that we've got to reach that fine balance between finding nauseas, that information that Wags and myself and you know, I think what William Cully's the big data guy from Canada, we like that stuff, right? We want to see it. But you know, your new fan or your average fan, that stuff doesn't mean a whole lot to them, right?
It's a different language to them.
You know, having a companion app would be the ideal, right? So for people that want it, they know where to get it. They know where to look at it. They know what it means. They know how to use it. But for those that don't find a lot of value in, at least in the immediacy, you know, it's not in front of them, confusing the game for them. And the commentators can kind of use the little bits of detail just to fill people in. And help educate them.
Rob, I want to jump in there. That's a phenomenal point to be able to bring up, because as you were explaining the data that you could actually gather through this, I was thinking to myself, how are you going to communicate this? And at what level do you have to understand the game to recognize its value? So if you come to me, I'm brand new. What is the importance of understanding how many passes are made under 5 meters or over, or whatever it may be, right? So you almost need to be able to help somebody digest this information, for lack of a better way to describe it, you know, dumb it down a little, right? Or give them a tool that helps them find that for those who want it. Because that's the other half of the challenge. Okay, now you can gather all this data. How do you use it? And the third component, how do you share it?
Something to keep in mind is we use that the league uses Mobi. I mean, Wags, you know this. You and DJ probably work with it, right? The Mobi app and that data. But it uses a little different software, and they're integrating it. But I think it's going to take a while for that to kind of become a smooth process that is usable as an interface. You know, again, I'd like to emphasize for fans, please be patient with this technology. Don't expect too much right away. Let the MLR figure out an effective way to bring this to fans.
I think experienced MLR fans have come accustomed to that. You know, and it's a bit by bit, but yes, some are quick to criticize, but the bigger picture has to be there in mind, right? You know, we have a tendency as rugby fans to be able to say, you should have this, and why don't we have that? And professional sports do this. And then when we give them a version of that, they're immediately not happy because it doesn't meet their expectation. So tempering expectations is an important point. Rob, solid there. You know, it's not only about the data, it's about the execution, it's about the use of it. There's a lot of things to take into consideration, and we expect it to be a teething period. We expect it to not be perfect right from the get-go. Nothing is, rarely do we have to have it right the first time. Scott, the floor is now yours. I can see you're ready to jump in, my friend.
So, you know, regarding the press release and all the data that they talk about, you know, I think the smart ball is going to be good. And as we're going to see, as Rob talked about, it's kind of going to drip out on those those primetime broadcasts that we're going to watch. And it's not going to be connected with any of the broadcasts on the rugby network yet. And I think that's one of the things that fans might have not understood either. You know, Rugby Pass is no longer powering the rugby network. In November, the MLR started a new partnership with Globic, which is a Argentine-based company. It's headquarters out of Luxembourg, but it was created in Argentina and operates in about a dozen countries. And it's taken over the administration and revamped the rugby network. So I wonder how they're going to be able to eventually take that technology from the smart ball to put it on the rugby network production. Because ultimately, I don't think this is going away. I think this is just a capability that's going to increase as far as, you know, eventually doing things like, did it make it over the try line for a TMO review? You know, did it make it out of bounds and read the lines to say, you know, to buzz off the referee, hey, that was a 50-22, you know, things like that. Things that we know sometimes in the heat of the battle that the AR is trying to run, and did it bounce this way? Did it bounce that way? I know that it said it's going to review the ball as it's thrown in a line out. And again, my wonder is eventually, as this stuff starts to roll out, are we going to have more and more robotic data to say that throw wasn't straight? you know, versus what the referees.
You might fast forward and you have AI refereeing.
Which I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily a bad thing, because at least if I'm cursing at the AI, you know, it's still.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently. By using more sustainable practices. By developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mm-hmm. But it's still fun. There's still somebody to curse at. But my point being, you know, I think it's going to show you a lot of analytics. It's going to give you a lot of real-time data. And it's going to increase the production value of the broadcast up to a standard in which we see when we see things like, if you guys ever watched the Manning cast on Monday Night Football, you know, Eli Manning and Peyton Manning have these digital tables that they do 3D projections of showing you. It's essentially what John Madden used to do with circling the television and showing you the replays, but it's a 3D digital table, almost like a chess set that they're using, you know, and they're, the NFL continues to push the bounds of all the stuff. But funny enough,
you're just going to have the education factor for the average fan too.
Absolutely. You know, but funny enough, and you know, if you want to use cricket as an example, you know, there's already things in the ball in cricket. You know, there's
yes, and that's been for a number of years. Yeah,
and you know, there's sensors saying when a bowler passed the line and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
NFL, they you know, you want to talk about things being cheeky. You know, each team still uses their own ball. Each team has a specific ball they use for an onside kick because it's scuffed a certain way. You know, the kickers use a certain ball to kick shorter field goals versus longer field goals because, again, they've rubbed it a certain way with fucking, like, you know, Mississippi mud and on the concrete and all that shit. You know, so I find it funny that the NFL is progressing in all these ways, but I don't think they'll ever change the way that they do the ball. I think it's one of those things. It's almost like they're dark arts. You know, what goes on with those balls? And, you know, there's controversy with Tom Brady in the last 10 years on Deflategate and stuff. And it's just an interesting, cheeky part that while they're adding all this stuff to the games, right, into professional sports, what are they going to do to kind of keep its charm a little bit? Rob, it looks like you're going to say something.
Well, you know, what's interesting is actually one of my very close friends works for a company. He's a CFO for a company here in Chicago, and they actually tan the hides for the Wilson footballs as well as the Wilson basketballs, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, there's a quality control process there that they do go through, but they haven't really adopted the technology that you would expect from the NFL.
It's funny because all the fans know, I coach youth football, and one of the things I would do on the first practice was I would take a ball and I would literally just grind it against the cement and get it and wet it, and then grind it against the cement and wet it, grind it against the cement and wet it. The reason being is I want to take any type of friction off that ball, so when we kick an onside kick, that thing's squirrely and hard to catch, and hopefully it'll bounce back, right? Not something they do in rugby, but I just thought it's interesting because we're always trying to strive to do these things that the bigger sports organizations are doing. So I find that interesting. But back to the ball itself. As Wags showed you, it's very low profile on what we're actually adding to the ball. You know, the other question becomes eventually, when is somebody going to say the other team hacked my ball and they did something to
me? Piece of data. Listen, it has a server and it has, you know, all this capability. So
it's, I mean, you talk about, again, you want to talk about things like, you know, Jim Harbaugh was in the news for you know, cheating scandals. Jim Harbaugh is one of the only coaches who still uses a hardwire communication system, because he believes if he uses the wireless one, that the opposing team could tap into it and figure out what he's saying to his guys.
Technology, I believe anything is possible.
How to do it. Exactly. So I think, you know, eventually, I'm not saying it's going to happen in this league, but I'm just waiting for something to happen where somebody said something squirrely happened and they lost by, you know, 2 points because somebody touched the ball and it made it bounce a certain way. And you just we got to be wary of technology sometimes. I mean, I do think what we're using it for right now, analytics wise, is the way to go. But I watch using it for anything else. Because again, you know, we've had referees on, right? And Marquise Goodwin, a good friend of the show, says, you know, a lot of fans while watching on television will say, oh, that ball is a forward pass. You know, in his view on the field next to it with an actual parallel view, it's not, right? So when do we get into making, you know, the ball?
Sorry, Rob, I could see you wanted to jump in there, so let me hand it to you.
Can I ask Wags? I mean, you're a coach. You deal with players. You are on the field. You have to make decisions in real time about how you want to adjust a game plan. What sort of, you know, where does it, for you as a coach, where would the use of that technology stop insofar as officiating? Like, do you want to see forward passes called based, you know, on?
I've got a follow up after Wags answers this one, because this is the direction I wanted to take the conversation, actually.
Yeah. Line out throws, you know. Hey, here's one. How about the kick? I know in America, we don't have those really tall posts like they do in more profound rugby playing nations. You know, do we want to make sure that, you know, that ball is tracked and that it's gone inside the post if it goes high enough to go over the post? You know, where does it stop and start for you, Wex?
Yeah, I think my answer to the question is in two parts. The first is it's always easy, and Ty nodded to this earlier, when something new comes out, to start kind of panicking a little bit about, you know, how it's going to change things. The way that this information is applied, and in my opinion, I think we should just start small, and it can be really simple. Like, one of the things that I really enjoy about watching a baseball game, like being someone who's really into like sports data, is the simple number after every pitch that's thrown is how fast a ball is thrown. Like, I love the year the Cubs won the World Series. I love watching Aroldis Chapman run out to the mound and seeing how many times he threw that fastball over 100 miles an hour. Like, it's simple information. It's not in any way controversial, and it gets fans engaged, and it gives like a little bit of a piece to enhance the viewing experience. And I think it would do everybody well for us to like start small and not just jump to, we're gonna default to the ball data on any sort of referee. Right.
So like, for example, you know, distance of kicks and things like that is a certain piece of data. You could say, let's travel, you know, 42 meters or whatever.
Right, right.
I think like a pass count, you know, when a side has possession, you know, tallying a pass count, well, you know, for the duration of that possession.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see, you know, when Luke Cardi's exiting or Nick McCarthy's sending a box kick up, I'd love to know ball speed off the foot, just things like that I find interesting. If we're going to start to bring it into adjudicating decisions on the field, I similarly think we can go like small and small steps and non-controversial steps. Did the ball cross inside of the post if it traveled over the top of the post? You know, Was the ball kicked from inside the halfway line in a call that was not made a 50-22? Things like that. I think when we start to talk about forward passes and when we start to talk about line out throws, that's where we get into more of a gray area, especially with passes being backward out of the hand, which is, you know, not a problem, but sometimes take more of a drift and conditions depending as well.
So pivotal moments that can change the game.
Totally, totally. So those waters are a little more murky, I think. I think if we go small steps, we'll be in good shape.
And you're touching on exactly where I wanted to take this conversation. So let's go one step deeper. Scott, you had brought up the idea of officiating and talking about where it could be used. Rob, you helped drill that down even farther. Wags, you added context the way you could see it could be used. And Rob, earlier you had mentioned one of the stats that you found important, and we all do, but you brought it up, was how much ball in play is it, right? Per minute. So one of the criticisms is that we don't have enough actual real game time because it's being taken up by moments of officiating and reviews and debates on field. Are we at risk by adopting this technology and not honing in on a few key areas, as you pointed out, Wags, and I'll direct this back to you. Are we at risk of now lengthening those procedures and possibly in the pursuit of trying to use this new technology, take us farther away from our goal of keeping the ball in play longer?
I think the short answer is yes. I mean, we've seen, over the last couple of years, just in not just the MLR, but World Rugby, but times when a TMO has become over-involved and sort of made a process longer than it seemed like it needed to be. I think that, incorporating too much information too early is almost mm-hmm. always going to be problematic.
It could be overwhelming for officiators totally. To be able to, the pressure to use this new technology will be there.
Totally.
So they're going to try and balance it, which is a tough job. And I will put my hand up first. And every single day, being a ref is one of the toughest things to do. And I am not made for it. And full respect to them. And we've had great conversations with MLR coaches, international. All of them feel the same thing, that it's a tough job, right? It's a really tough job. But they're in that position where they're putting themselves in that spot to take that criticism. So, it's one of those things. We're going to feel pressure to use the technology. Time will tell how we use it. But we hope to be able to see some simple things that they say, hey, this is the situation where you use it. Try scoring opportunities. Yes or no, that's where you use it. Conversions, yes or no, that's when you use it. And things like that. Otherwise, it can get a little out of control pretty quickly as we try to be able to explore this new toy, right?
Yeah, it can definitely get cumbersome. I mean, if you think I know the Australian Open just wrapped up for tennis, and when they go to a tennis review, it's just sort of like a very simple but animated video. What did the ball hit the line or go off the line? If we can have some sort of parallel to make the process less cumbersome, then, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would be more open to that conversation.
I mean, I think what we need to do too is, I mean, and this is coming from a fan of this league now since, its inception. While we have, if you go to Major League .rugby and you go to player stats, they give you, the top five in carries, the top five in tackles made. But there's no real consistency for a fan to go see a breakdown of stats like there is in the NFL, right? So NFL, CBS Sports is updating real-time tackles as it's happening on the defensive, front. And we can barely get those stats at the end of a match, at the end of a week, for whatever reason. And it's whether it's a lack of personnel there to make the statisticians to do it, or somebody to review it to make those stats. Are we moving a little too far forward with giving people real-time stats when we don't have the basics down, is my question coming from a
fan. That's a fair point. I think that's an interesting point you bring up there, Scott, because it's a walk before you run concept, right? And we don't even get the first steps right. How are we adding additional layers of this complex to it already? Could be a challenge.
And I think the MLR is thinking about that already, at least, again, going back to the production meetings that I have. And I don't want to give away too much. But in some of the things that I saw of where it's being used, and I'm specifically talking about, in the UK and in Ireland and their competition, it's allowing their analysts to get a breakdown that's more like a newspaper, headlines. So mm-hmm. it provides the data as applies to a previous game. And now you don't have to wait for a human to tabulate that data and, spit it out at the back end. You're getting it in real time. So now you're just looking for somebody to take the data, make sense of it, and then turn it over to your analysts, who then can look at it during the week in preparation for a game and start to look at teams and comparatively, head to head, what are we seeing from the last outing of these two teams? What can we draw from this data, and what is that? How does that help us, think about the game that's in hand before us and present that information to fans? And we're talking about, let's face it, we're talking about a guy like Mike Petry, whose pedigree is well-known around rugby circles in the United States. We trust him to be able to take that information and interpret it, not only in a way that's usable and digestible for the average fan, but also in a way that's effective to use as a commentator for people, you know, like you and I to digest and consume and appreciate. So, you know, I think there's a little bit of quality control that can be done just at the production level, because we're entrusting some pretty quality people. Wendy Young, I'd throw in that and that mix too.
You know, at the production level, I wonder, you know, it's I believe so. MLR, who else? Six Nations, the Autumn Internationals, the Under 20 Championships, and other test matches in Australia. Excuse me. You know, is the MLR going to be smart enough to say, hey, Globit, look at the production and look at what the Six Nations is using this data for, and how they're using mm-hmm. this data, and how their quote unquote, what they call in the business, the Fox box is looking like for that, right? For those who don't know, in the United States, the first people to put the score and all that data was Fox in 94 for the NFL season. And they actually got that from the BBC when they were doing premiership football in 91, 92. They started it in the UK, you know, to, what are they doing and how are they using it? Right. Cause we know that the production for the Six Nations is perfect, right? It's always it's the commentators are great. The production rarely has any hiccups. So if they're the gold standard, I wonder if the MLR is going to say, look at them and what are they doing? How are they doing it?
Right. Absolutely.
And what capability do we have to match that?
In short,
really working. Mm-hmm. So another component I wanted to be able to chat about here, gentlemen, before we get ready to be able to head out. And before we do so, reminder for WAGs, we're going to give you a little window as we do each show with any new, or with any guests, I should say, is to give you a chance to be able to send a shout out to any special cause or charity. And it's important for fans to be able to know where they can learn about all those good stuff. And as a reminder for those tuning into us already, thank you for being with us and sticking around this long. But if you wanted to get even more content or learn more about what we're talking about here and more about rugby in general, don't forget to be able to follow us online under the handle at Rugby Rant Pod and all of our social media, where we continue to be able to share more of rugby across North America, because that's what we aim to do, is grow rugby one fan at a time. And we do that with your help and with the help of our partners as well. So don't forget to be able to check out what they do. That does include Rugby Now and Shop MLR. So the last component I wanted to be able to bring up, and this was brought on online from fans. Again, there's a large amount of criticism, skepticism, whichever way you wanted to be able to present it. One of the thoughts is cost implication. And Wags, perhaps you can give us a little bit more insight here. And what do we mean about that? We touched on it in certain points. Well, if you're going to collect data, first of all, there's a device. Now, we understand there's a cost to that. There's software that needs to be able to process it. There's a cost to that. There's servers. There's data capturing. There's somebody that needs to read it. There's multiple layers to this. Does this also potentially become a cost burden to many of the sides? Or do we see ourselves potentially this being driven by the MLR because it's their partnership? And, of course, that partnership also deserves a highlight, with Gilbert for the first time and Sportable being the data analytics partner. It's a wonderful partnership that we hope does continue to be able to bloom. So some of the things people have brought in is cost implications for teams that are already in what's still considered a young league and some very new teams coming in. How is this being managed? Do you have any insight you want to share?
You know, I think what I would offer there is, I'm sure there's not one team across the competition who's disappointed to have Gilbert rugby balls at their training sessions and in their games. And being that this is a relatively new piece of technology that Gilbert's rolled out, I think one, just by the fact that Gilbert endorses it, legitimizes it to some extent. And two, it's not proven yet. So I think that, probably, you know, I don't want to go down too much of a tinfoil hat road, but I'm sure that there was some sort of conversation between Gilbert and the MLR about, hey, we've got this new piece of technology. We want to show it off. You know, here's how we would like to make this work for you. You know, I think that in terms of extra resources needed to interpret the data and to present it in a professional way, You know, I think a lot of that burden probably sits on the shoulders of the league. And I think, you know, they probably tell you the same thing just in terms of making the product as good as it can be. You know, we in Chicago, I haven't had one conversation about adding an additional staff or purchasing additional equipment in order to accommodate these balls. So that's good.
And you know what? That's a really solid response there, because that's what fans want to be able to know. And that's how you see it being measured in the organizations and the team. The structure hasn't changed. The burden, the resources haven't been stretched any farther than what you had before. So really, from your point of view, and I know this is one piece of the puzzle, you're not seeing additional burdens being laid on top of an organization like the Hounds, and likewise we can assume for the others, but this is being driven by the MLR, and you have to assume that the partnerships are favorable for both, otherwise they wouldn't be doing it. So everybody's got something in the game to make it successful.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I'm sure all the fans of the league are happy that, you know, we're taking a step forward in terms of a higher quality match ball and training ball. And I think, you know, for me, it kind of starts and stops there. So unless we have problems that are uncovered with it, you know, let's rock and roll. Let's sling the Gilbert ball around. And, you know, so far everybody's been happy with it. So.
Excellent. I love it. Let's get the ball out there in the hands of the players, and let's get back to action as the season is just around the corner. Scott, I know you wanted to jump in there, so I'm going to hand it back to you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, you're talking about people talking about the cost of it online. It's a weird thing, because even if, let's say, you wanted to add somebody to your staff to do this, you know how many people are on professional team staff that do the statisticians? I mean, we're talking, I mean, you go down to single A hockey, we have the Danbury hat tricks right close to me where I'm a season ticket holder, and they have a friggin' stat guy that does all the stats for their season, you know, on their roster. And that's not to say the Hounds are doing it wrong or anything like that, but my point to fans is, this is the age we're in analytics, where you,
right,
if when you get to that point and you need to expand your team, you're going to get somebody who does it, right? So the cost portion, a little weird that they're asking. What I would ask Wags, and I don't know, and maybe you do have this insight, maybe you don't yet, you know, have they weather tested the ball in severe weather? Because as we know, things like Houston, right? If they start a game in Houston at 3 and it's burning hot, and that halftime goes into, you know, 6-7 o'clock when that sun comes down, we've noticed that first quarter, the second half, that ball is slippery as hell. It's a lot of precipitation on that ball. It kind of changes the way you handle the ball. You know, how does the technology handle the weather? And I kind of maybe just answered my own question, because if the analytics aren't working, who really cares as long as the ball
is breaking?
Yeah, so if the analytics aren't working, who really cares, I guess? But my point is, I wonder if they gave you any specific instruction about, you know, weather.
No, I mean, for all intents and purposes, these are all weather balls. The surface of the ball is no different than any other high standard Gilbert match or training ball. The pattern's no different. The only thing that's different is the small plug that I showed earlier that they've incorporated. So, you know, if you have to adjust to a sweaty ball on a hot day in Houston, or a cold rock hard ball in a March game in Boston, that's just a game adjustment that, you know, I think you're going to need to make. We did get some balmy low 40s weather in Chicago today. So we were outside for the first time on a little bit of a damp track, but it was a normal.
You know, Scott, I just had a funny thought. This would have been a perfect episode if we were still sponsored by Manscaped.
I had puns and puns and puns.
You would have had a field day with it. You probably didn't see those episodes, Wags, but like, Scott was a poet the way he put these things together.
Oh, man.
It was genius level of how many puns you could throw in. You know the brand Manscaped, and this, by the way, is not a paid advert. but they're all kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek humor about it. And this whole episode, you know, anticipating sweat and balmy balls.
Yeah, man, that is balmy smart balls.
Well, maybe we can work on getting Oddballs to sponsor our show. I'm not sure that might bring the fun back. But I want to give three hot takes as we exit. Number one, the MLR has committed to making sure that this technology is working. And I'm pretty sure if that requires an additional person at each of those 25 nationally televised games on Fox Sports, that it's going to happen. So that's number one. Number two, I can speak specifically, as can Wags. The Hounds have a data analyst guy. I mean, DJ Williams is one of the best. The guy, like, he's like a mad scientist. I mean, he's the one that took and pulled apart the defense matrix. And I won't give away trade secrets or anything like that. But he's the one that talked about in the pre-final that the New England blew all the metrics away, with his defensive metrics, like matrices that he had working, whatever he had, the witch doctor had cooking up. So he's a guy that the Hounds have on staff that would already do that. And then, finally, I'd just like to address the fact that if there was one piece, I think that this technology, I wish they would add, that would be easy and would have, I think, would at least create some consistency in gameplay that players would appreciate, like measure PSI of the ball. How great would it be to be able to just hold a cell phone up to that ball as it goes in touch and you're flipping another ball? You can measure the PSI and go, is this the PSI that the league is looking for in terms of consistency during gameplay? Yeah. Right. And then it'd
be easy to do as well.
Right.
Oh, and yeah. Rob, I just want to interject. DJ was great for us last year. He's moved on to some new opportunities.
Oh, did he? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we've got a great performance analyst in Andrew Jones, who joins us from Poe in the French Top 14. And we also have a data scientist on staff named Jake Rafferty, who works with Jamie Beamish and Luke Lewis in the performance department. So those are the guys who would really be sinking their teeth into this kind of data.
And don't forget Newman. Can't forget Newman.
Can't never forget Newman. Shout out to Newman. Cool.
All right, gentlemen, here we are coming up to the final moments of this episode. Episode 161 is a reminder for our rugby fans. And a bit of a tradition here on the show is to be able to give the mic back to our guest, to be able to send a shout out to anybody you think deserves it. So as we said before, Wags, here is your moment.
Thank you, Ty. In addition to this this role we've been talking about largely with the Hounds, I am fortunate enough to be the director of rugby and the men's sevens coach at the Chicago Lions. And Chicago Lions have a great partnership with a school called Chicago Hope Academy. I think we're getting close to 15, maybe 20 years with them. So Chicago Hope Academy is in the same neighborhood just down the street from where the Lions are, North Lawndale. A challenging neighborhood at times. It's got a ton of kids, many of whom are from difficult backgrounds, and just the work that they do in the community, the work that they've done as a school, is pretty remarkable. They're excellent partners for us. They lend themselves to so many opportunities for us to get engaged with rugby players and with families and our neighbors in the community that we wouldn't otherwise have had. So I just want to give a shout out to Chicago Hope Academy. They've also got a fantastic football team, fantastic rugby program. If anybody wants to learn more, find out how they can get involved, please look them up at ChicagoHopeAcademy.org, and go Eagles.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And we'll go ahead and pop that link into our bio as well for this episode. So don't forget to be able to click it and learn more about another great organization doing wonderful things to help spread the game we all enjoy so much, because that is a noble mission, right? And especially if you happen to be able to do it for those who definitely needed something important to be able to latch onto, a beacon of hope, as using the pun. So, gentlemen, here we are at the final moments. As per usual, it has been a blast here on episode 161. You as a fan can continue to tell us what you think about this topic, or maybe something that we might have missed, maybe something you disagree with, maybe something you agree with, whatever it may be. You can tell us what it might be under the handle at RugbyRantPod on all of our social media platforms. We encourage it. And of course, if you feel so brave enough to challenge one of these guys here on screen in a debate of your own, reach out to us. We're happy to be able to introduce new faces anytime possible in one of our upcoming episodes. And you can continue to catch us all on all the podcast providers that you may choose to be able to do so under the handle at RugbyRantPod, in addition to our social media and anywhere else we might be. So for this episode, it's been a blast. It's been a great time. A special thanks to Wags. And of course, thank you to Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt, Scott the Big Guy Ferrara, and on behalf of myself and the team, my name is Ty the Sapper Braga. We will see you at the next.